You know one of our problems, and we're all guilty of it? Trying to get others to grow in areas we're not growing ourselves.
Dr. Tony Evans says part of leading others spiritually is letting God lead us first.
Let him talk to you. Let him inspire you. Let him convict you. Let him transform you. And let the folks see what's happening with you.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Success in any task hinges on preparation, be it studying for an exam, cooking a meal, or organizing a work presentation. Readiness is key, and it's no different when it comes to studying the Bible. Today, Dr. Evans shares practical considerations for preachers and teachers as they prepare to communicate the Word of God. Let's join him as he begins.
There's the awesome responsibility of being a teacher or a preacher of Scripture, and it's one that must be taken seriously because God holds us accountable at a higher level. I'm often asked, what is my method for preparing sermons? Ezra 7:10 says that he set his heart to study, preach, and live God's word. Ezra's a preacher, he's a priest. But he set his heart to the task of proclaiming God's word. So let's get rid of the job description of preaching and focusing on that to the heart of the preacher, which automatically affects his preaching. First of all, it starts with the development of a divinely appointed life. That's what I call it. A sense of calling. The question is, do you preach because you've been called to do that? Or do you preach because it's a job description? You know when you're called because you can't shake it. Paul says, woe is me if I don't preach. Jeremiah says, it's like fire shut up in my bones. I can't contain. I can't help myself. One of the great things you need to ask a preacher or teacher is if you could do something else, would you? Because then maybe you ought to. The call to preach is a burning desire to communicate God's truth that you can't shake. Assuming that there is a sense of calling to the proclamation of God's word, it must be then connected with prayer, the development of a dynamic prayer life. God has wired the world to work through prayer. Prayer is the mechanism for us to connect with God. No prayer, no power. Bathe your preparation and your presentation in prayer. Soak it. When you soak a sponge and push on it, what's inside comes out. Then there is the development of a dedicated life. That is a dynamic walk with God. Your spiritual life affects and is connected to your sermon. Because if the Holy Spirit's not comfortable with you, he's not going to be comfortable speaking through you. If he's not at home with you, then when you stand up, you might be standing up all by yourself. Jesus spoke of himself as being anointed. And he says he was anointed to preach in Luke 4. And when he was anointed to preach, the poor would have good news. The blind would have good news. The oppressed would have good news. Every time you stand up, folk ought to be looking forward to some good news because you've been anointed to preach. There must be the development of a disciplined study life. 2 Timothy 2:15, study or be diligent, the Greek word says, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who is not ashamed. Why? Because you're rightly rather than wrongly dividing the word of truth. To put it another way, exposition takes work, diligence. Regular Saturday night specials won't do. How do you turn the study into an exciting place to be rather than a boring place to be? Oh, let me go to the study. I got to preach today. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Study to grow, not just to preach. Don't go and prepare the sermon for the congregation. Go prepare the sermon for you. And then share with the congregation what you learned. You know, one of our problems, and we're all guilty of it, trying to get others to grow in areas we're not growing ourselves. Because we go to the study to tell them, not for the study to tell us, so that we can then tell them. So let's look at the process for biblical exposition. Okay? Let's get down to nuts and bolts. The process for biblical exposition. First of all, identify the passage by developing a preaching calendar. So let me talk about this. I know where I am going at least 6 months before I get there, because I have a preaching calendar. And in my calendar, I have laid out the series I'm going to do, or the series that I'm going to do over that period of time, how I'm going to break it up, what will be my main passages, and I've laid it out. I may not have all the titles down, but I basically know where I'm going, and if there's a special holiday in there, I'll put that in there. So I can tell you where I'm going for approximately 6 months, sometimes longer. Having decided what you're going to preach on, the subject, the topic, whatever it is, then B, you determine the meaning of the passage. Now, this does not have to be rocket science. To determine the meaning of the passage, you want to ask a couple of questions. First of all, what do I see? It's called observation. Now, some passages will be crystal clear. It won't take much. Others are going to be difficult. Peter says Paul wrote a lot of things that are hard to understand. What does this mean? This is where many of your tools will come in, your commentaries, to help you to grasp things that are not readily understood by you. This is where the Holy Spirit comes in. God, the Holy Spirit, help me to understand what you're saying here. Open my eyes so I can see. Show me, as David prayed, wonderful things in thy law. You want to identify any key words, any key problems, and bring the helps alongside that will help you to understand and answer those questions. But having answered those questions, you now want to be able to come to see, determine the idea of the passage. That's what you want. You want to determine the idea of the passage. That's the point. An idea is composed of two things: a subject and a predicate. The idea is, what is this talking about? Subject. The predicate is, what is it saying about what it is talking about? The subject is the main thing being emphasized. The predicate is what it is saying about that thing being emphasized. For example, Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The idea of that passage is total commitment. The predicate is results in the knowledge of God's will. What are the ingredients of total commitment? Present yourself to God. Don't present yourself to the world. Have a renewed mind. Those three are the total commitment, and it will result in the knowledge, or you proving, God's will. You want to state your idea in a way that it makes sense to you. Because remember, a mist in the pulpit is a fog in the pew. So if you don't know what you're talking about, where you think they are? Now, this is what you want to get to. You want to get to your idea, because that's what you want the people to take home. You can go all over the place if you want to. They're not taking anything home. Because that's not how language works. People think in terms of ideas. In determining your subject, you want to make sure that this subject is understandable. You want to make sure that it's believable. Because if it's not believable, that means you're going to have to do more work in making it believable. And now you are ready. You are ready. Once you get that idea, you're ready now. Because now you done honed all that study down to this point.
Dr. Evans will have more on the preparation for expository preaching when he returns in just a moment. Stay with us.
Hey, pastors, looking for motivation? The Kingdom Pastors Library is what you need to begin a new inspiring chapter for your ministry. Featuring the books of Dr. Tony Evans, this collection will renew your passion for the gospel. Read from impactful works like The Power of Preaching, The Wonder of the Word, The Centrality of the Church, and Our Witness to the Word. Visit TonyEvans.org/pastors to order your copy of the Kingdom Pastors Library today.
Today is the third installment in a special four-part teaching series Dr. Evans is bringing to encourage and strengthen pastors and Bible teachers in both their ministry and their personal spiritual growth. In fact, as you've been hearing today, making sure that you are growing in your relationship with the Lord is a vital part in helping others grow in theirs. As a way to help you make that happen, we put together a package of resources you can receive that'll help you dig deeper into the concepts and insights Dr. Evans has been presenting here on the broadcast. We're calling it the Biblical Expository Preaching Package, and it includes all four full-length messages from this series, as well as Dr. Evans' practical guide for pastors, his book titled The Power of Preaching. You can get this package as our thank you gift when you make a donation to help us continue bringing Tony's teaching to this station and others like it around the world. Just visit TonyEvans.org to get the details and make the arrangements. But do it right away. This special offer ends with the conclusion of this series tomorrow. Again, that's TonyEvans.org or by phone at 1-800-800-3222. Team members are ready to help with your request 24/7, so call as soon as you can. Well, let's return to Dr. Evans now with the second part of today's lesson on preparing an effective, scripture-focused sermon.
Now this leads you to the purpose. Determine the purpose of the passage. By purpose, I mean, what do I want the Spirit of God to accomplish in the life of my audience through this message? Romans 12, 1 and 2, I want them to want God's will so much. I want them to want God's purpose worked out in their life so much that they're willing to become totally committed to get it. I want to create in them a hunger for God's will. You must determine your purpose. Now, you got a target. You know where you're going. You got an arrow. That's the idea. The arrow's the idea. The target is the purpose. This is what I want to hit with that idea. Now you must work on how you're going to present it. That's where outlining comes in. Determine the outline for the passage. So simply put your main idea at the top, because that's the main thing you're driving home. Your outline should support getting to that idea, because you said that idea is the point of the passage. Well, if that idea is correct, then the stuff in the passage should support you arriving at that idea. And if it does, it'll show up in the outline. If your point's one thing and your outline's another, that means you didn't get the point. Because that means the passage or passages don't support what your conclusion is. After you've outlined it, you now want to apply it. You want it to be relevant. And I'm going to talk about relevancy in detail, but let me just say here, I'm going to relay it to the mindset, circumstances, and situations of the audience. That is, applicational to them. Now you're ready to determine the introduction and then the conclusion. Why do you determine the introduction at the end of it? Because only when you finish do you know what you're introducing. You can't introduce an idea until you know what the idea is. You can't introduce the concept until you know what the concept is. Now, what's the purpose of an introduction? It introduces the concept, it introduces the text, it arouses attention. after you've done the introduction, it's time for the conclusion. The conclusion does two things. One, it reviews where you've been. And then it calls for a response. Because you're preaching. It calls for you to do something with what you heard. Now, you're ready to preach. This isn't rocket science. You have the right tools. You set aside the time. You study to grow, not just to preach. And I think you'll find it coming together. You plan it out. And now it's time for delivery. Determine the delivery of the passage. How am I going to communicate this through my personality, not somebody else's, using my personality so that it is effective? First of all, it has to do with your presence. How I communicate must be commensurate with what I'm communicating. Pace. How fast or how slow? When you're dealing with pain, you don't want to talk fast because you want to empathize. That's what Jesus did. He empathized. He felt it. You want your voice to express within the context of your own personality when the punch needs to be there, because the punch is there in Scripture. That's why when you're studying, don't pick up only what the author is saying. Pick up the mood by which the author is saying it. Jesus wept. That's a mood. It's not just a phrase. It's a mood. Jesus is sad. Pause is another one. Pause means Selah in the Psalms. It's called Selah. It's a pause. It means shh. Think about it. All of these becomes part of a mood. It's not so much I want you to remember these things. I want you to remember these things as things you kind of isolate, but I want you to capture the mood of preaching, not just the method of preaching. Because the Bible was written to people going through stuff. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, now concerning the things about which you wrote me, this is on your mind. You wrote me about this. Let me respond. I know you're going through stuff. Preaching is to capture the mood. If the passage is about fear, people ought to pick up fear. If it's about pain, they ought to pick up pain. If it's about joy, they ought to pick up exuberance. They ought to pick up from you, watch it, that you feel it, not just that you're saying it. That's the mood. Because now they believe it. And look at all the moods in Scripture. The moods, the feelings that go through Scripture. It's all there. It's a drama. I mean, it's a movie. It's a living drama. That's why the Word of God is alive. The Word of God is alive, not only because God is alive, the Word of God is alive because flowing through the pages of Scripture are the moods of the events taking place. Don't be afraid to be creative. Don't be afraid to be creative. I was preaching on value, how valuable you are to God. And so I said, who's got a $100 bill in the congregation? Okay, they were a little slow raising their hands, but I found somebody. I said, bring it up here. I said, who wants this 100? Now everybody had their hands up. Nobody wanted to give it, but everybody wanted it. The guy who gave it to me started looking at me with one eye. Then I crumpled the dollar and threw it on the ground. Who now wants this 100? Everybody's hands still went up. Then I went over and stepped on the $100 bill and squashed it under my feet. Who wants this $100 bill? Everybody still wants a $100 bill. I picked up this squashed $100 bill and then I spat on it. Who wants this 100? A few hands went down. But most felt like they could get around that. They kept their hands up. I said, now, the reason you have your hands up is that even though this dollar bill has been abused, it has not lost its value. It still has its value. That no matter where you are right now in your life, God still holds your value, both in creation and in salvation. Don't be afraid. Jesus used object lessons all the time. Look at the fields. What do you think they were looking at? The fields. Look at the bird. A sparrow sells 2 for 4 pennies. He, you know, the woman at the well, give me a cup to drink. He was using object lessons. He made his truth visible, not just verbal. Don't be afraid to be creative. As long as it's drilling home the point. Bible is a very visual book. God has all kinds of symbols in there, tabernacles and baptisms and communion cups. All of those are symbols designed to give you a visible representation of a spiritual principle. That's okay. And you and your preaching are a visible representation. Your body language, your eye contact. When I talk to you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. And all of a sudden, when I zero in, all of a sudden, you feel it. Eyes make you feel it. People are to feel the truth that you're preaching, not simply hear the truth that you're preaching. It's the mood. But it's hard to make folk feel stuff that you don't feel. That's why you want to get the mood, so you can transfer the mood. You've been to a basketball game, a football game, and seen how the mood. Now you say, well, could that be emotionalism? Well, let me tell you the difference between emotion and emotionalism. Emotion is your expressed feeling about something that is taking place. Emotionalism is getting all excited when nothing's happening. It's like jumping up and cheering and your team is losing. That's emotionalism. You're responding to nothingness. Emotion is responding to truth, whether it's glad or sad. Bible talks about God's heart being broken, God weeping. I mean, the Bible talks about feelings. The feelings obviously must be brought under truth, but feelings are very real and to be taken seriously. You then deliver the sermon. And you let the Holy Spirit do the rest. As simple as that sounds, it doesn't have to be rocket science to prepare a sermon. What I've tried to do is lay it out in a simple form so that you can work with it and go from there.
Dr. Tony Evans, with some practical steps pastors can take to make sure they're bringing the Lord's message as clearly and passionately as possible. Now, there's plenty of material we didn't have time to present on the air today, but you can get a full-length copy of this message to review again on your own or to pass along to a pastor or friend in the ministry. Just visit TonyEvans.org and look for the information right on the homepage about the Biblical Expository Preaching Series. As I mentioned earlier, if you make a donation today or tomorrow to help support the ministry of The Alternative, we'll say thanks by sending you all 4 audio messages from this series, as well as a copy of the first book in his Kingdom Pastor's Library called The Power of Preaching. Once again, you can make the arrangements at TonyEvans.org or by phone at 1-800-800-3222. A friendly team member is ready to assist with your request day and night. That's 1-800-800-3222. People dismiss the things they find unimportant, but will connect with the things that are relevant to their lives. Be sure to join Dr. Evans tomorrow as he explores the importance of connecting the history and context of the Bible to contemporary life. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.